Welcome to the Israel Answers series, connecting Israel, the Bible, and you. Join Susan Michael as she explores timely issues and current events from a scriptural perspective to equip the Christian world with a balanced and biblical response. Be sure to subscribe for future episodes, which will ignite your faith and bring the Bible to life in your everyday world. Now, let's join Susan with your Israel Answers.
Well, we are here at the 2025 National Religious Broadcasters, and I have with me someone who is almost like family. We've known each other for so long, been in ministry together here at the International Christian Embassy Jerusalem, and that is David Parsons, our Senior Vice President and International Spokesman from our Jerusalem headquarters. So we're really excited to have you here, David. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Susan. It's good to be stateside and here at the NRB with your whole team. I'm excited about all the folks that have come in to help here at your effort at the NRB.
And the other 5,000 people that are wandering around. It's a really exciting event.
Yes.
So, David, I want you to introduce yourself to our audience. Tell them about your upbringing, your education, and how you got this calling to Israel.
I grew up on the Outer Banks of North Carolina, barefoot on the beach. My grandfather owned a fishing pier. But from an early age, around 13, 14, the charismatic movement swept our area. My mother got dramatically healed, miraculous healing of a cardiovascular disease. We came to know the Lord, even though we'd been in church before. We really came to know Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I knew from an early age, 13, 14, I had a calling to Israel. And there's various things that sort of, it gave me that understanding. But as I grew up and wanted to pursue it, I felt going to law school and the legal training was better than, say, seminary or anything else. And the Lord sent me to Wake Forest University undergrad and law school. In between, I sat out 2 years and visited Israel twice, stayed for a couple months, got to know Israel. And it was in the Gulf War in 1991. It was the first war that you could watch real time on CNN and everyone in gas masks. I knew people there. I'd met them. I'd been several times to Israel by then. And I knew it was time to drop my law practice and go full-time as an advocate for Israel. I fasted and prayed, and the Lord first sent me to Washington. And I remember in those early years having dinner with you and George in Washington. But I worked for a small Christian lobby for Israel for 4 years, from 91 through 1995, then I learned the ropes, and by the end, I co-drafted the bill to move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, and we got that passed. It wasn't exactly what we wrote at the start, but it passed and then became the basis.
That was in 1995 you're talking about. That was the legal precedent which no president had the guts to actually act on and actually move the embassy, but it was that bill that later Trump moved the embassy based on.
Yeah, look, we worked hard on it. I wore out several pair of shoes on Capitol Hill walking around trying to get that passed, and it was 22 years. Who would have known back then that Donald Trump would be the one to finally have the courage and test it, and is the Middle East going to blow up if America moves its embassy to Jerusalem? It didn't happen. He did the right thing, and so that work wasn't in vain back then. And in my time in Washington, I got to know you and about the Christian Embassy. I knew it was time to move on, and I looked around. I knew some of the various pro-Israel Christian ministries then. There's so many. But I just felt the Christian Embassy had the highest calling. I went to the feast. I saw, it's so impressed with the global family. I know as an American, sometimes we get so focused on life in America and everything, but there's a whole big world out there that when you see the body of Christ, from all over the world, we have 90 branches or representatives, 90 countries. But we have a reach into over 180 countries. Almost every nation in the world has people that support Israel through the Christian Embassy. And that's a reason for us to be proud of the work that God is doing, because it's a truly international movement and an international, global family of Christians who love Jesus and love his family.
Yes. Well, you know, being in Washington, D.C., it would only make sense that you were drawn to the ICJ because we do have a type of diplomatic calling.
Yes.
It's governmental.
Yes.
We call it kingdom diplomacy. We're not there. We're not representing any government, but we are representing the Bible-based body of Christ around the world. And so it only makes sense that you'd be drawn. And I remember the day you called me and said, "I'm ready to go to Israel now." And so when you moved to Jerusalem to work with the embassy, it was 1996, wasn't it?
I first went in December of 95, before
so this
Christmas.
Your 30-year anniversary.
Yeah, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Time goes by.
Yeah, I worked for 3 months on the third Christian Zionist Congress, and that was the week there were like 5 major bus bombings in Israel, terror bombings, about 70, 80 people killed. It was horrible, but it also was the sort of moment that we've gotten used to where Israel is hurting, Israel is isolated, Israel feels the whole world against them, and the Christians are standing there at their side. And that was a tough week for Israel, but we put out powerful statements then. It is this sort of, spiritual diplomacy. I know we call it kingdom or faith diplomacy. I think it has a certain spiritual level of comforting the Jewish people that we're called to that really has an impact on the Israeli people. There's unique moments where God is always placed. October 7 in the war is another one.
Yes.
Because we were there with 700 Christians 2 days before, right on the Gaza border, planting trees, and then it all blew up 2 days later in the very areas we were. But it's been incredible to see the Christian response post-October 7 all around the world, including from the U.S., to help us meet the needs in Israel.
Well, it's so great that even though you felt this calling as a young person, that you went to law school and got credentialed and got educated, because God has used that. Mm-hmm. You have been a leading voice in our whole movement through your political analysis. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, also your biblical analysis. But as a lawyer, you have an ability to write and articulate and defend and present a case and understand the politics. And you've been a blessing through the ICEJ. I know many probably here at the NRV have read your articles and been blessed by your analysis. And so I just want to encourage young people to go to school and get educated and professional. God will use in very effective ways. Now, you can use everybody and anybody, but he used you so effectively because of that education.
You know, some people, they require that degree. God can use anyone, but some, to open certain doors, having that degree helps. But going to law school, I've just realized over the years, you know, the legal training helps you identify issues and how to marshal the arguments to put it down, all the Palestinian claims, and also it's helped me understand the Bible in a different way. Even Paul was a lawyer. He was educated in the law of Moses, and you'll see him talking about how a testament or a will doesn't speak until death. And the whole concept of covenant, it's a contract, but it's divine, made by a God who cannot lie. It's impossible. We have all kinds of contract law to keep people to their promises, but with God and his promises over Israel, Susan, what a comfort to know we serve a God who does not lie. Impossible. He won't change his mind about Israel. And that sort of training has helped me make that argument. And I hope because of others in the movement, like Malcolm Heaven, like Jürgen Mueller, I think we put out the most solid theological teachings on why to support Israel that you're finding out there.
We've definitely been the thought leaders in the Christian Zionist world.
Yeah.
And you've been a key part of that.
Yes.
Yeah. A blessing. So I want to congratulate you on your 30-year anniversary.
Yes.
And I know that you're a man of the word. You study it a lot, and a man of prayer and of faith. So what is it that God's put on your heart in these days? I mean, you've seen a lot in Israel. Mm-hmm. And from Israel, you have a unique view globally. Yeah. But I'm sure that God's stirring something in your heart for these days.
Well, I think we're at a monumental turning point in the region, in the Middle East, that this war and even the fall of the Assad regime in Syria, the Trump administration coming in and wanting to shake things up, not return to the status quo of Hamas in Gaza and Hezbollah in Lebanon, things changing in Lebanon, the Abraham Accords. There's so many things sort of conjoining that this is kind of like the 67 war, the Six-Day War, where things really change. There's an opportunity for Christians to really pick up the prayer burden and the advocacy burden to make sure the Arab countries go in the right direction, reject Hamas. And we're at a time coming out of this, I think there's a whole new level of interest among a whole new wave of Christians interested in Israel and what's going there and how it's prophetic and shows we're in the end times. And I just sense God is raising up a new generation to take us from this moment forward in a movement that through our ministry, we see it's reached just about every nation on earth. And so it's a calling. The U.S. is so important to how we reach all the other nations too. And I feel we're going to pass the baton on to capable young men and women who God is calling to carry this mission of comforting Israel and helping them reach their prophetic and redemptive destiny in God. That I'm excited about the future, even though we've been through a lot of pain over the last 16 months in Israel.
Yeah, that's really gives me great hope to know that you're hopeful. I want to go back to what you were talking about, that this is a moment of change for the whole region. And I think 50 years from now, we'll look back and it'll be October the 7th is the turning point. So many changes.
Yes.
I can't say what all they're going to be.
Yes.
But it's a major turning point. And, we've now in the United States, we have this new administration, Trump. And my fear is that a lot of the Christians will now sit back.
Sit and relax.
And take a big deep breath, sigh of relief. Judgment isn't about to fall. We can, we've got a government on our side, going to turn this around. We can just rest now. And that is the opposite of what we should be doing. We've got to take advantage of the moment.
Exactly.
Because we can now get the job done.
Yes.
And we can get it done faster and easier, but it still has to be done. We still have the work to do. And that's my message as I talk to people, is do not sit back and relax over this. But in Israel, in the Middle East, what are some of the changes that, if you were going to be prophetic now, you want to give me some predictions? What do you think is going to happen?
I tend to stay away from all this Gog and Magog speculation because I've seen it for 40-some years now. And we got our feet on the ground, but our thoughts on God and the direction. It does seem within Israel, there's a real move back to God. All the soldiers going into Gaza were praying the Shema and praying to God. And all these hostages, so many of them that are making it out, have these incredible testimonies, how faith sustained them. And these were secular people at this music festival, where you dance and all the drugs and all that, something about a lot of them, they're turning to God. They're looking for an answer in the God of Israel, and many are seeing he's been faithful to help the nation through this. The government's done well, but really it's God's hand over the nation. And that is a good trend. And we also see something like the Isaiah 19 vision of reconciliation between Israel and Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hand, and Israel, my inheritance. It's the end of Isaiah chapter 19, the historic reconciliation of the Abraham Accords. There's an opportunity for that to expand to Saudi Arabia, to Lebanon even, who knows, Syria. They just accepted welcomed a delegation of Jewish leaders from America or elsewhere to visit Damascus. Incredible. So there are opportunities, but you can't sit back and relax. President Trump is the gift that keeps on giving to the pro-Israel community. Take a couple minutes to list all that happened on his first term, that a lot of the stuff we weren't even asking for. He recognized Israeli sovereignty over the Golan. You wanted that for years, but who dare think to ask? And he did it. And so there's an opportunity. We need to maximize this moment by showing support for this administration and all the pro-Israel people in it, like Pete Hegseth and the ambassador, Mike Huckabee, who's coming, and so many of them, to stand with them and say, let's get as much done as we can to change the status quo in the region, for more acceptance of Israel. And in the midst of it, the Israeli people, the Jewish people, are saying, look, God is with us, and it's those Christians who are making this happen. That's a powerful testimony.
Do you think Saudi Arabia is going to come to the table and be part of the Abraham Accords?
While Biden was still president, they were still saying, we can't have this normalization until the Palestinian issue is dealt with and all. They've been holding that line, but things may change under Trump. What's happening behind the scenes? I think we're going to get surprised where this may go. Before, the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman wasn't so hard set on, he said, oh, we'll accept a future Palestinian state. Well, I'm okay if people support a future Palestinian state, as long as it's always in the distant future. And normalize. And for me, the whole concept of normalization with Israel, it's all about you losing your abnormal hatred and obsession with Israel and the Jewish people. It's you becoming normal in the way you view them and treat them. And I think we are going to see more of that, even despite this war, that process. But we got to pray it through. We got to birth it through into a new season that hopefully it also allows the gospel to come into some of these Arab countries more freely.
I think that, it's really amazing if you think 20 years ago and you looked at the Middle East to think that this is even possible, even when we have already the United Arab Emirates. Look at that friendship with Israel. That's astounding. I would have never guessed.
Yes.
it's like if you had told me, I would have said, you're crazy.
Yes.
But I believe Saudi Arabia, the leaders, maybe not the populace, I don't know where they stand, but the leaders do want it. And they realize that they've got to move their countries into the 21st century. And they've got to move past that 7th century hatred that the Quran feeds in them and these jihadist movements are feeding. And I think it's going to happen.
They need to shut down Al Jazeera.
Yes.
Because its main audience is the Arab publics in these countries that are starting to normalize with Israel. They are undermining the legitimacy of those governments and regimes. And it's not good. I'd like to see the United States get tough with Qatar about their relation with Hamas, with Iran, and about their really hostile, demonic Al Jazeera television, which preaches jihad in all the region and stirs the Arab street against their own rulers.
Yeah. Well, then let's talk about the second part of your earlier statement where you began to talk about the next generation of Christians and why you feel so dedicated that, or so convinced is the word, that God's raising up a new generation. My prayer is that he raises up a new generation, but how do you see that? What are the indications that you see?
Well, some of our younger folks on staff in Jerusalem, they know how to get into the Google Analytics, like what are the terms that people are searching. And one of the biggest terms that people are doing Google searches since October 7 is Christian Zionism. So we've started a whole new teaching series going back to some of the basics that Malcolm Heading first helped us with. Jürgen Bueller, our president, and I and others have helped develop understanding the sure theological foundation of the restoration of Israel based on God's promises to Abraham, to Moses, to David, and even the New Testament affirms this last day restoration and how to really, how to understand the whole sweep of the Bible and the centrality of Israel in it. And it's a whole new generation that needs this understanding rather than a lot of speculation about what's next on the prophetic calendar and getting obsessed with the dark side of prophecy. We've majored as a ministry on that positive side of prophecy concerning Israel, especially the return, Aliyah. I'm excited we're going to hit 200,000 Jews that we've helped home within the next 2 years or so. So many other areas that the opportunities for our ministry are there, and the young people are curious and getting excited, and we're trying to reach out to them through all these social media platforms that each sort of generation has their own niche. We were Facebook, and then there's Instagram and TikTok and all these other platforms that there's Christian Zionist content on them now because we're being very deliberate about reaching them, and there's a lot of interest in it.
Yeah, and that's great. And to reach that next generation, you're right. We have to go back and start laying the foundations again.
We know this, and it seems sort of old, but you got to give that fresh take. Jesus said a good sage brings out a little old and a little new out of his cupboard. And so post October 7, we've got to present support for Israel in order to stand up to all these horrific lies against Israel, genocide and everything has been thrown at them, and it still stands up. God is still on the throne,
yes,
and he's still restoring Israel.
Yes. David, you've been there almost 30 years now. Share with our audience one of the most touching moments during your 30 years there. It may have been October 7th, it may have been before, but just a moment that you'll never forget.
Yeah, I have so many. There's one that's very precious to me because I've handled our media coverage, and the media is always presenting us as dangerous, even to Israel, that we really don't love Israel. We think two-thirds of the Jews will die, so one-third finally come to Jesus. We don't teach that. But it's impacted a lot of Israelis, and some, you know, think we're dangerous missionaries. And there was one year where someone got to the chief rabbis and said, those Christians are just coming to missionize. They don't care about us. They just think we're players in their dark, prophetic scenario. So the chief rabbinate banned Israelis, Jews, from coming and being a part of our feast or watching the Jerusalem march, which at our Feast of Tabernacles, we walk through the streets of Jerusalem, tell the people of Israel we love them. And here, the chief rabbinate says, no Jew can be out there watching them. We had the largest crowd ever, probably 400,000 Jews, more of the ultra-Orthodox. Curiosity got the best of them. They were out there. And I remember when at the assembly point, when we bring all the nations together to start walking up, there were all these little kids coming up to me and saying, you are welcome, in their little bit of English. You are welcome here. We love you. We love you. And we knew that we had become like the talk around the dinner table, around the whole nation, and that young generation was longing to see us and get the flags and the candy we'd hand out. And for me, it speaks of the young people in Israel growing up with a good testimony about Christian supporters of Israel. And that to me, I can hand the baton off to other Christians, knowing hearts are this young generation in Israel is also prepared for this unique relationship between Christians and Jews to welcome the Messiah one day.
And that's because for 45 years, we've been there showing up day after day, year after year, during that Feast of Tabernacles, the march in the streets of Jerusalem. And the Israeli people just love it. They love to go out and watch that parade come by of all the nations, all these Gentiles that are in the city for the Feast of Tabernacles wearing their national costumes and their colors. And it's just a beautiful ministry of comfort to the people. But I'll say this, that all of our feast tour groups, when you ask them what was your favorite part, it was the march, the Jerusalem march.
No.
To see the faces of the Israeli people. To hug them. Many times you're hugging them. They're saying, thank you. And the little kids are coming up. And it's just such a tangible touch and eye-to-eye contact with the people that we're praying for, that we're supporting, that we're there to bless. It's phenomenal.
We had around 700 Christians who made it to the feast this past October and joined the Jerusalem March, 50-some nations. In the middle of the war, when all the flights from America were canceled, Europe Aviation Authority said no one's to fly to Israel. People made it in, and this coming October 6 through 10, our feast, we're going to do the Jerusalem March again. No better moment to reach out to the Jewish people and tell them you love them, you care for them, you pray for them, than joining us at the feast. And especially the Jerusalem March. It's going to be good this year, and we're giving a discount price to help people make sure people can afford it and come. It's a special solidarity, and we hope victory tour to Israel this year at the feast.
I tell everyone, it's the best time of year to go to Israel.
Yes.
It's the only time of year that you can not only tour Israel, but you can experience the Feast of Tabernacles.
And the people.
And the people, yes. So we've restructured it this year so we could get the price down to allow more people to come. So we hope that we'll have a good number of Americans there.
Amen.
Representing our country. And we're doing a push to actually get every state represented.
Yeah.
And because we know that it'll bring blessing back to America, and it'll bring blessing back to those states.
Yes.
So, well, David, we just thank you for taking time today to share your story and what God has put on your heart. And we want to thank you for your life of service to this ministry and to the people of Israel, and for the leadership that you brought to the movement. So thank you.
I'd say the same to you, Susan, all the faithful service of all the many years serving the Lord in this ministry. It's been an honor to work with you.
Oh, thank you.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of Out of Zion with Susan Michael. Be sure to subscribe to Out of Zion now on Apple Podcasts, cpnshows.com, YouTube, or wherever you like to listen and learn. Out of Zion with Susan Michael is a production of ICEJ USA, all rights reserved.